Hare Krishna, glad to be back to Radhadesh. So today we are having a topical class on the secondary spiritual duties as we are doing in this second term during the topical class module. And we are going to focus on Varnashram Dharma as social and religious responsibility. Some of you may have checked, I don't know if you have, but if you did, you may have seen that I'm jumping a little bit from topic to topic. And the reason is that I'm giving priority to the topics which I think, okay, we should cover them and we should not miss them. So I thought this is a very important one. So I wrote on the flip chart the sources we are using for this class. I will start reading a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, Divinity and Divine Service, text number 13. Srila Prabhupada will use it frequently. It describes Varnashram Dharma and how the purpose of Varnashram Dharma is to satisfy the Lord. And then we will discuss the Varnas and the Ashramas based on Srila Prabhupada's purport to verses 1 to 3, chapter 16, Bhagavad Gita, and Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur on a particular section written there, second rainfall, showers, third and fourth. If you like showers, these are warm showers, don't worry, it's very pleasing. So, okay, and we start. Atapumbir duya shreshta varnashrama vibhagasha svanushtitasya dharmasya samsitir haritoshanam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Purport. Human society all over the world is divided into four castes and four orders of life. This is can be puzzling. It's divided. Prabhupada is saying, but someone could argue, how is that? I mean, you go to Switzerland and do you see the four varnas and ashramas? Someone could question, could argue in this way. But Srila Prabhupada is speaking here about an implicit way and systematic, what Srila Bhaktivinoda calls unsystematic varnashram application, which means that people, they engage themselves in particular types of work according to their own natural propensity, or at least a facility is given for that to happen. The four castes are the intelligent caste, so there are intellectuals everywhere, the martial caste, there are military people, the productive caste, there are people who work the land and take care of the cattle. They are supposed to take care, but they don't take proper care. I mean, usually they kill it. But okay, they are supposed to be vicious to protect the animals, and then the laborer caste. These castes are classified in terms of one's work and qualification and not by birth. Then again, there are four orders of life, namely the student life, the householder's life, the retired, and the devotional life. In the best interest of human society, there must be such divisions of life. Otherwise, no social institution can grow in a healthy state. hand, in each and every one of the above mentioned divisions of life, the aim must be to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. This institutional function of human society is known as the system of Varna Ashram Dharma, which is quite natural for the civilized life. The Varna Ashram institution is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. It is not for artificial domination of one division over another. So this will be the corrupted form of Varna Ashram Dharma, which exists since many years ago, actually even centuries, in India. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this corrupted form of Varna Ashram as it exists now. So this, Prabhupada says, domination from one group, one division of society over another, this will be the corrupted form. The idea is to protect and to support each other in society and not to try to control others in an artificial way. Of course, kshatriyas, they are meant to control, but they should do it in a protective manner. That should be the mood. When the aim of life, that is, realization of the absolute truth, is missed by too much attachment for indriya priti or sense gratification, as already discussed herein before, the institution of the Varna Ashram is utilized by selfish men to post an artificial predominance over the weaker section. In the Kali Yuga, or in the age of quarrel, this artificial predominance is already current, but the saner section of the people know it well, that the divisions of castes and orders of life are meant for a smooth social intercourse and high thinking, self-realization, and not for any other purpose. Herein, the statement of Bhagavatam is that the highest aim of life, or the highest perfection of the institution of the Varna Ashram Dharma, is to cooperate jointly for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13. So I would like to ask you, Srila Prabhupada mentions many points, important points, regarding Varna Ashram Dharma. And Varna Ashram Dharma is actually extremely important. If we look at the Srimad Bhagavatam, even though the Bhagavatam focuses on pure bhakti, pure devotional service, we see that Varna Ashram Dharma is discussed again and again throughout the Bhagavatam. Isn't it? We find Varna Ashram Dharma in each and every canto of the Bhagavatam. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, then Lord Krishna appeared in the Vaishya community and he performed the duties of the Vaishyas, taking care of protecting the cows. And actually he highly emphasized the importance of the Vaishya Dharma performing Krishna consciousness, and how a healthy society must depend on the cultivation of the land and the protection of the cows. And then we also see many Shudras who are acting also in exemplary ways, and there is a nice cooperation between all the different Varnas. And we also see descriptions of the Ashram Dharma. We find it in the 7th canto, in the 11th canto, and throughout the whole Bhagavatam. So it is actually very important, Because unless we apply ourselves, we follow the duties of the Varnashram system, it is very difficult to perform pure devotional service. We can do it, we cannot do it artificially. We need to engage our psychophysical nature in the service of the Lord. So therefore Varnashram is very important. Of course, now the question will be how does Varnashram is relevant to us in modern times? Can we really apply Varnashram Dharma? Rabindra Swarup Prabhu was explaining in one of his articles that unless actually many people have different opinions about Varnashram Dharma. Among ISKCON leadership, we will find different interpretations of how to apply it in the present context. Some say that Varnashram Dharma should be applied in farm communities, and we find some nice examples to a certain extent of Varnashram principles applied in a few of our farm communities. Others will say that Varnashram Dharma principles should be applied in mainstream society by training our congregational members in the essential principles of Varnashram so that they apply them in a daily life as much as possible. By serving Krishna according to their own propensities. In any case, Varnashram Dharma in itself is emphasized, and Srila Prabhupada himself mentioned during the mid-70s, he wanted to establish Varnashram Dharma, and he wanted to go to New Vrindavan and Gita Nagari. He mentioned these two projects, the first farm communities, in order to establish Varnashram Dharma. We don't know exactly how Srila Prabhupada would have established Varnashram Dharma or what he would have done. And we saw that also many times Srila Prabhupada will do something and see if it worked. And then when he saw it didn't work so well, he will adjust. So it does not mean that Srila Prabhupada already had necessarily, could be, maybe not, necessarily had figured it out exactly how he was going to do it. At least if we study the history of ISKCON, we can see how Srila Prabhupada was adjusting things according to time and place. For example, he wanted to preach by having a world Sankirtan party. And by world Sankirtan party, Srila Prabhupada meant a group of devotee kirtaniyas, musicians, who will travel all over the world performing kirtan in important places, important cities, in main stages and so on. Later on, he emphasized Harinam Sankirtan. Later on, he emphasized book distribution. Later on, he emphasized Bhaktivedanta Institute. So we can see, doesn't mean he dismissed the previous processes, but he was adjusting according to what was relevant in order to preach Krishna consciousness. So going back to the purport we read, why Varnashram Dharma is important? Can you think of some of the points Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, or other points you know? Why Varnashram Dharma is important. Rudradev Prabhu. Yes, you mean we should acknowledge nature, like the natural divisions are there, so we should acknowledge them? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
So, okay, to acknowledge what God has created, what nature has created. Different types of people with different types of inclination. Very good, very good. So to provide peaceful environment, that means to create order. Things are very nicely organized in society according to the instructions of Krishna, Krishna's instructions, and according to nature. And then everything remains peaceful as much as it can be in the material world, remains peaceful so that we can practice devotional service. Very good. Okay, so in what way will help to attain self-realization? Okay, good, yes. So by following our duties, and as the verse we read says, for the satisfaction of the Lord, then we gradually advance. We purify our psychophysical nature by engaging it in serving the Lord. Very good. Any other points? Any other thoughts about Varnashram, why it is important, or how it is important? Chaini Tagore?
Also, from the ideal Varnashram Dharma, which is seen from scriptures, from that we can learn how to form society, you know, for the benefit of people. Because even though the Varnashram is seen, principle of Varnashram is seen in today's society, it is focused on sense gratification mainly, and not so much, because the Vedic Varnashram that you're talking about is focused for the benefit of the people.
Very good.
The benefit is peaceful life, so that one can practice Krishna consciousness, or that one can, when it becomes more expert, brings their Varnashram duties into Krishna consciousness.
Very good. So it makes society to function nicely and with a proper goal of life in order to fulfill the goal of human life, which is ultimate self-realization, to awaken pure devotional service to the Lord. So in summary, for gradual elevation, to please the Supreme Lord, to create a suitable environment for personal and communal spiritual advancement, to engage each person according to his or her psychophysical nature, and to foster cooperation among the members of society to create a nice society so that we can achieve the goal of life. I'm keeping track. Okay, one more. Good. So you say because it is, because the highest authority, the Vedas, established that this is the best system. Okay, good. Yeah, the authority is establishing. That's right. And it is actually, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, it is naturally there. So it is not something artificially imposed, but it exists in each society. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita that Varna Ashram Dharma may exist in a systematic way or in an unsystematic way. But actually it is much better to approach it systematically, because then society can develop better. Like, for example, also education. Until now in ISKCON, it is not that we didn't have education during the first 20 years. We had a lot of education, but perhaps not so systematic in the ways. We had morning classes, evening classes, but many times, okay, who gives the class first one on the spot? And sometimes devotees didn't study so much scripture, will say anything in the classes and so on. Of course, we had also very nice preachers, experienced preachers, who trained and who shared their Krishna conscious realizations. And in this way, our society developed. But when it is done systematically, there is a scope for better education, for avoiding leaving important points unexplained or improperly studied or in an incomplete way. Srila Bhaktivinoda writes, there are two methods of approach, systematic and unsystematic. Things work ineffectively if a systematic method is not followed. If we do not follow a scientific procedure for making a boat, then we have to use a primitive craft for crossing water. In the same way, as long as the varnas are not scientifically incorporated, society will continue to run on an unscientific basis. Except for India, all places remain with an unscientific incorporation of the varnas. That is why India alone is known as Karma Kshetra, the place of action. Of course, later on, Srila Bhaktivinoda explains that actually even India nowadays is not healthy in the way how they apply Varna Ashram. Srila Bhaktivinoda writes, is the system of Varna in India now in a healthy state? No. The system was established in a perfect way, but gradually deteriorated, and this is the reason for the troubles and degradation of the present-day India. If that were not the case, India could have taken the role of an elder brother who, in old age and retirement, could give good instruction to other nations. The reason for India's deteriorated state should be deeply considered. The Varna Ashram system, so this is important for us, of course, in ISKCON, we have not been able to figure it out how to exactly incorporate the Varna Ashram system, isn't it? That's why there are so many opinions even among our leaders. It means we didn't really figure it out yet. As a society, we have different attempts, in different places. And we have incorporated to a certain extent the ashram system, to a certain extent. We have brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha. It's not so defined. Sometimes it is, okay, it's there a little bit, but it's not completely defined, sannyas ashrams. Still, even how do we apply ourselves to the ashrams could be refined. If we look at the instructions given in Shastra and what we do, there is a lot to be learned still and to refine in the practical application. And then also how to apply it in a modern context, it's even more difficult. So what to speak of the varnas? Varnas like brahmana, okay, yes, we have education starting to develop. We have deity worship in temples. I know we have a Mayapur Academy to teach deity worship. We should develop it more systematically, how to teach to the world deity worship, not just to a few of our members. Are we doing that? This is brahminical work. How to teach deity worship to each and every person who comes. We're doing it in the Congregational Development Ministry to a certain extent, but not so systematically, isn't it? We invite our congregations for festivals. We get a quota, monthly donation, but how systematically we do it? We go to their homes and we teach them, okay, how to worship Krishna. Sometimes devotees, if they find a kind member, preacher, he will do it. He will teach them how to do it. So it is still unsystematized to a great extent. I don't say nothing is being done. I don't want to be to paint a very black picture of reality. But okay, to a certain extent, we have a lot of work to do. Still, we can learn. We can look at what Srila Bhaktivinoda says about how in India things deteriorated. It mentions a time when the Aryans were advanced. The rule was established that people took up a varna according to their nature, and getting a qualification through that varna, they would carry out their duties and work designated by the varna. By following this system of ashrama and varna according to nature, the work of society continued smoothly. Then Srila Bhaktivinoda explains it continued purely for a very long time until Yamadakni and his son Parashuram claimed to be Brahmanas. That's an interesting explanation. Though both had the mentality of Kshatriyas, by following a varna contrary to their nature out of self-interest, they created friction between the Brahmana and Kshatriya classes. As a consequence of this deviation, the seat of enmity between the two classes and the procedure of judging varna by birth became fixed. In the course of time, this system of varnas, without reference to the inner nature, entered covertly in the Manu Samhita and other scriptures. So the Manu Samhita, even sometimes people quote very strongly Manu Samhita. And okay, Srila Prabhupada quotes it, but also sometimes it's questioned. Srila Prabhupada also says, according to Manu Samhita, we cannot touch the Manu Samhita. All of us here, we are mlechas, according to Manu Samhita. Prabhupada says that. Well, I mean, this is what Srila Prabhupada says in one discussion with a disciple who is quoting Manu Samhita. I don't want to undermine the Dharma Shastras. Dharma Shastras are mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in many purports, but other times he does question it. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinatha Ki Jai. So the idea is that what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that there were what the scholars will call, what Srila Bhaktivinoda, sorry, is saying, what the scholars will call some brahmanas, they created, it's written here, they created their own explanations, and they made their own, what the scholars will, modern scholars will call their interpolations. How they explained the instructions given in Shastra about Varnashram Dharma, they will explain it in ways suitable for their own material benefit, with the idea of artificial domination of the so-called Brahmana caste over the other Varnas, without properly performing their brahminical duties. So this is like the degradation of Varnashram Dharma. And this is what we need to establish. If we want to establish Varnashram Dharma, we need to first establish brahminical culture. Srila Prabhupada explains this in his books, in Bhagavatam. Brahminical culture and cow protection. These are the solid foundations for Varnashram Dharma. It starts from the head. If there is no proper Brahminical culture established in our society, it is not possible to develop a healthy society which will be able to create an impact in the world. We will not be able to function itself properly, what to speak of being a role model for the world to follow. It will be just wishful thinking. Just we like it very much. We want to be leaders of society, but many times we cannot lead our own communities. We have many farms and are falling apart. We are not able to manage them properly. So we need to do something about it. Brahminical culture is the first step, and cow protection. So, okay. I don't think we will have time. It's a very broad topic, and I think it's too ambitious to try to cover all the points here. What we will do, we will have next Tuesday, we will continue with the presentation, this presentation, and then the student presentation will be the Tuesday after, so that we can cover all the points I intended to cover. So then, qualification of the Varnas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very... The reason why I'm quoting Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur so much is because in this section of Chaitanya Shikshamrita written on the board, Srila Bhaktivinoda covers the description in a very condensed way, but also in a way which is very relevant to modern thinking, explained in a way that can be useful for people from the West. Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita is written very much thinking of the intellectuals of the West. And everything is written, it's in 10 pages, everything. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda writes, when defining the qualifications of Varnas, about the Brahmanas, he says, sense control, mind control, tolerance, purity, forgiveness, honesty, cultivation of knowledge, and faithful service to the Lord. This is how Srila Bhaktivinoda summarizes the Varnas. I mean the Brahmana Varna. The wise have scientifically classified nature into four types: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Those who have these qualities I just mentioned, these are Brahmanas, have a Brahminical nature. Those who have valor, energy, determination, dexterity, fearlessness in battle, a charitable inclination, the ability to protect others, and the ability to control others, have a Kshatriya nature. So this, and this match, this is what is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita chapter 18. These elements are there, these qualifications. Those who are inclined to agriculture, raising cows, and trade have a Vaishya nature. Those who maintain their life by serving others have a Shudra nature. So according to inclination, a person belongs to a particular division. And this should be ascertained through education. Srila Bhaktivinoda writes, qualification may be intrinsic or circumstantial. A human being's life is divided into three: the time of learning, the time that is the educational period of life, the time of work, and the time of recreation. So time of learning, education, time of work, and time of recreation. He does not elaborate on recreation, so I don't know exactly what he means. If by recreation he means we mix it, we do it when we are children, that's one thing, or we do it also, we mix it with the other two, with education and work. He doesn't elaborate on that. But he does say that in order to properly work, we need to invest properly in education. Otherwise, we cannot determine properly what is our proper work. Of course, also, during the educational process, there should be a careful analysis of what is the nature of the candidate. Otherwise, the candidate may waste a big amount of time. Like, for example, if someone has a Shudra nature, and then he studies theology and philosophy too much, maybe a little it's okay, but then it will be a waste of time for that person. That person could have engaged his nature by learning to use things he or she can do with the body and arts and music, and so many things could have developed it, but has been investing the time in a place where it is not study of scripture, and which is not his nature. Of course, everyone should listen to scripture and should study a little to a certain extent, but to go deep into a scripture, the person should have Brahminical nature, or Kshatriya nature will cover certain aspects of a scripture. Okay, so we have only 2 minutes to stop on time, so we'll take one or two points, and we will continue next week with the ashram system. Here I only presented the Varna. This is what Srila Prabhupada said.
But who is the
The definition of mlecha is, here, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, it says, those who do not distinguish, I read all, but not the mlechas. Those who do not distinguish proper action from improper action, who have no inclination for righteousness, who are fond of argument, are extremely selfish, are gluttonous, and are devoid of marriage rules, are called antiyajas, outcast. I mean, I think it fits. Okay, we are endeavoring ourselves to follow properly. I mean, sorry, with all due respect, you are all Vaishnavas, so I don't mean to offend anybody. But what I mean, when Prabhupada said that, he knew, he could see. He married his disciples in the beginning, time to apply the rules of the Shastra, but they start breaking apart, doing all kinds of things. He got disgusted, even just for marriage rules. And nowadays, even sometimes we have to argue how to properly start a proper marriage. Because people start living as husband and wife without being married. So this is antiyaja culture. This is mlecha, yavana culture. So therefore it's not so easy. It's a real challenge to establish proper culture, proper varnashram. It may take a few generations before we're able to do a good job. I mean, yes, he does not elaborate on the circumstantial at this point. Later on he explains how a brahmana may perform the duties, if there is a need, may perform the duties of kshatriya or vaishya. The seventh canto of the Bhagavatam explains, in emergency situation, the duties may mix, but never brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya should perform the duties of shudras. If someone has intrinsic nature of a brahmana, say someone who has the qualities of a brahmana and has to study scripture, to teach a scripture, and then he goes and starts working, I don't know, like constructing buildings. It's a waste for the society. Such a person should be studying and teaching scripture. But we are not able to manage it properly, and then it shouldn't be like that. In case of emergency, he may do the duties of kshatriya and vaishya to maintain his family if he's a grihastha. But should be able to perform. I don't think, sorry, with the time we are already gone. So I'm sorry. I saw your hand before, the last point, and please keep it. If you want to make a note, we can, next week, you can contribute there. It's a matter of time.
So, you know, that means that everybody has to have their own speciality, and it's all, you know, we all trained. So people do things for each other and all like that. Or if you want to continue a community, we have to have our own self-sufficiency, also means self-sufficient in children, that the community can reproduce itself. So like I was just counting, in this room we have 4 people who have children, out of 40 people. And all of those people who live in the community, in this community, and it's only one child. So if you have a man and a woman, you have 2 people, you have 1 child, that's half the community, and that's 10%.
Well, of course, I mean, in this community we have an educational institution, so many are students here.
Yeah, but it's just a general point that in order to, like, if you want to build a house, you have to have wood, bricks, cement. You need all the materials to build a house. So Varnashram is practical, as a practical functioning, you can just have a Varnashram village, a practical functioning Varnashram village that can reproduce itself. You need like 1,000 people or something like that. You need like hundreds of people who all know what they're doing and are all trained to do it. And their fathers did it and their children will do it. And that's the way, you know, that's the... So for me, I don't...
So what I'm trying to understand your point. Okay, I take your point that it's real, that it's very difficult, and we may get discouraged and so on. But does that mean we should not talk about it? Or the reason why I'm talking about it is because we need to learn the principles, and then we need to. It is the job of the brahmanas. We should create brahmanas to see how to figure it out, how to apply it in the modern global context, or how to make communities which will create an impact in the global dimension, because everything is very different. So anyway, it's time, and I promise I have already gone beyond time. I promise Guru Padma Prabhu will finish on time. The school is coming. We can continue after the class if someone likes, I mean informally, but we should move to outside so that everything can be arranged, and we can continue next week with the discussion. The point is that to learn the principles and see how to apply them. We continue next week. Hare Krishna. Thank you.